It is now 8:02. We will begin with a call to order. I would like to welcome you all to the Board of Directors meeting for the Student Success Program Nonprofit Board, which operates Padeo Charter Schools and Charter Schools of San Diego. I am Len Herring, Chairman of the Board, and I will facilitate the meeting. Let's first take roll call. When I call your name, please provide the group brief introduction for the benefit of new members and members of the public. Are there any members of the public in attendance?
Angela, are you aware of any?
I am not aware of any.
Okay, and I think everybody knows everyone else, so we don't have to go through a lengthy introduction with everybody. So I will take the roll call myself here. Scott?
Present.
David?
Good morning, present.
Tim?
Present.
Good to see you all. Eric?
Present.
Thank you for joining us. Mary, is there anybody on the staff that needs to be introduced? Maybe not have had the opportunity.
Well, there's a lot of staff out there, so
good.
I won't go through all of them, but welcome, all of you. We're connected to all our sites and everything. Plus, we've got, of course, the leadership team that's here.
Super. I want to thank everybody for taking the time. It's so important that participating members of the organization hear and understand what's going on collectively. So I appreciate you taking the time out and attending this morning's meeting. First item is 1.3, consideration approval of adoption of the board finding pursuant to the Government Code Section 54953(1). SSP Board of Directors determines, in accordance with the Government Code Section 54953(1), that meeting in person would present imminent risk to health or safety of attendees. Pursuant to Government Code 54953, the board has also reconsidered circumstances of the state of emergency declared by the governor on March 4, 2020, and finds the state of emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the governors to meet safely in person, and or that the state or local officials continue to impose or recommend measures to promote social distancing. Additionally, AB 361 requires that these findings be made every 30 days to continue to permit teleconference meetings without adhering to some of the traditional requirements of the Brown Act, specifically with teleconferencing requirements of Government Code Section 54953(3). Do I have a motion for the approval of item 1.3?
Motion to approve, Chairman.
Well, is there a second?
Tim Morton, second.
Thank you, Tim. We will conduct all of our roll call, all of our votes via roll call. I will now call for those individuals. If you would please just say aye or not, nay. Or no, and or if there's any abstentions, that will suffice. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously. Second is to the establishment of the quorum. Item 1.4 is establishing a quorum. Do I have a motion for the approval of item 1.4?
Motion to approve.
Well, do I have a second?
A second.
Tim Morton, second.
The roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We have a full quorum. I will now conduct a Pledge of Allegiance. If you would, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of America, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice. Thank you. Next is item 1.6, approval of the agenda. Item 1.6 Do I have a motion for the approval of the agenda, item 1.6, with the recommendation for Mary?
So moved, Barton.
Thank you.
Crean, second.
Thank you very much. Conduct a vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes. Next is public comment. If you would like to participate in public comment, please complete the speaker card submitted to staff. Public comments for items of interest to the public and within the scope of the Student Success Board non-agenda shall be no longer than 2 minutes. Public comment for agenda items shall be no longer than 3 minutes. Speakers may not yield their time in accordance with the Brown Act. No discussion or action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to respond or give direction to staff. All public comment will be heard at this point in the agenda. Each agenda item being commented on will have a maximum of 20 minutes allotted, and each non-agenda item will have a maximum of 10 minutes allotted. If necessary, the board chair may equivocally increase the time of each speaker in order to stay within the allotted time frame. Item 2.1, a non-agenda public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items not on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 2 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless modified by the chairperson. Speakers may not yield their time. Are there any public comments on items not on the agenda? Hearing none, we'll move to item 2.2. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items that appear on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, as modified by the chairperson. Speakers may not yield their time. Are there any public comments on the agenda items? With public hearing. the governing board of directors encourages participation by parents, teachers, and members of the community interested in the affairs of the Odeo Charter School and the charter schools of San Diego. The public hearing is now for the AG completion improvement grant at 810. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on the public hearing. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes total, unless otherwise modified by the chair. Item 3.1 is public hearing for the AG completion improvement presented by Tim Tudor.
Thank you, Admiral Herring. The AAG completion grant is a new grant that we are eligible for to receive funding for this budget year. This is to increase and improve services for foster youth, low-income students, and English learners to improve their AAG eligibility, which helps them go on to four-year universities. And so we have in your board packets on page 5 and page 11, the proposed plans for Odeo Charter School and the Charter School in San Diego. So inform everyone, Odeo Charter School would receive about $150,000 and the Charter School San Diego will receive about $381,000. Some of the activities that we plan to implement to assist with these student groups towards improving AAG completion rates will be high-frequency academic tutoring opportunities for students focused on supporting achievement in their AAG coursework. We're looking at expansion of our AVID programs that promote college planning and college readiness. We're looking at designing new and engaging curriculum that is aligned to California content standards and receive the A to G approval from the UC system on those courses. We're looking at increasing professional development for teachers, counselors, and staff relating to building capacity to implement strategies and monitoring tools that will promote a college-going mindset. Mental and social-emotional learning, increasing counseling. Relationships and resiliency. We're continuing to look at building partnerships with colleges, universities, nonprofits, and other local organizations that can provide information and counseling sessions related to college preparation and meeting the A to G requirements. We also will be developing marketing materials that relate to the creation of flyers, newsletters, and social media that promote A to G completion. And also information around financial assistance for these underserved groups that promote successful completion of A to G requirements. So we've got a number of activities outlined in the plans that will help the A to G completion rate of our foster, low-income, and English learner student groups. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions?
Oh, sounds good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing the results. My question, Tim, is when you say local schools, are we targeting specific community-based schools for students to apply in this program?
The local community colleges and universities are typically the more popular choices for our students. So yes, continue to develop relationships with those universities.
Okay, good. I think that works real well when not only is there a local, but we can a synergism, if you will, between our local colleges and the program. So they know what the student is actually coming from. So the success rate of that student and the admission of that student is probably more likely to occur than just if they're general.
If I may, we've really beefed up our efforts to develop that rapport you're talking about. So we have, at another time we can talk more about it, but local community colleges, so our students can be concurrently enrolled and be taking courses. And they are. We have many students that are taking courses now. So we're making smooth and easy, and this funding will help.
Super. We found it very, very rewarding taking young military personnel who were preparing to go to a college with preparatory courses and local colleges, and their success rates because of that relationship were about 75% to 80% higher than those students who had just gone in all taken care of. It was there's a lot of reward there if there's a partnership and a preparatory learning experience, if you will.
The interest and the ability on the part of the community colleges has waxed and waned over 30 years, but they are extremely open at this point to work with us. And so we're very happy to be able to articulate our courses. It's a real positive. Economically, it works for our kids too.
Good. That's what we need. We need to do that. They go from one success to another. All right. Thank you very much for the for that update, and I look forward again to hearing. To a closed public hearing, the time being 8:17. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on closed session items 4.2.1. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by the chairperson. Okay, hearing none. Place board members in breakout room for closed session.
Thank you. It'll just take one moment to move everyone.
Okay, moving forward, closed session ends time 9:31. Agenda item 4.2.1, board chair will report any actions taken during closed session. There were no specific actions taken during the closed session. We return to open session now. Moving on, administrative items. Just to make absolutely certain, I'd like to just do an agenda roll call. So if I could, if you would just respond myself. Scott?
Aye. Here.
David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye. Just point of clarification, Admiral. You did say 4.1. I think it was the report from the closed session is 4.3. Just a little clarification.
Oh, sorry. Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Okay, good. We have, so everybody is back. Administrative items 5.0. Moving on to 5.1, consider approval of board of revised 2021-2022 meeting calendar to include additional regular meeting on Wednesday, March the 16th, 2022 at 8 a.m. Lynn, do you have a report on this particular item?
Thank you, sir. We are requesting if we can add one regular board meeting for this fiscal year in order to support the provisions of the bylaws.
Okay. Mary, is there anything else that you'd like to add? Okay. Do I have a motion for approval of item 5.1?
So moved. Barton?
Thank you.
Green, second. Green, second.
Very well, thank you. Any discussion?
No. Nope.
We've had this via email already. Okay, we will now conduct a roll call for vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Very well, motion passes. Moving on to item 5.2, California Fair Political Practices Commission Statement of Economic Interests, Form 700 Annual Filing. And this is just a reminder for everyone that our Form 700 deadline for the county is April the 1st. You may submit your form electronically, or if necessary, Angela Neary can help you fill and file hard copy. If you would like Angela to assist, she'll need to get the form back from you no later than March the 25th. Any questions on the Form 700? Hearing none, moving on to 5.3. Governance parental representative postings 2022-2023 on respective school web pages and RCs on January 14th, 2022. Deadline to submit application April 14th, 2022 for the Odeo Charter and the Charter Schools of San Diego. This is an annual publication for vacant parent board representatives, and this is a very important issue. Is there anything specific you'd like to address here, Mary, Lynn, or Tim?
Nothing other than the fact that everyone is very conscious of the fact that we're always open to the consideration of parent applications, our teachers, everyone. This, of course, has been a very challenging time for all parents, both in terms of work and in terms of just managing their households. So we've had some extra challenges these last couple of years, and going forward, I things seem to be getting better, and I hope we continue on that track. So we are certainly considering, we always consider this a priority.
Yeah, great. And I ask that those individuals who are from each of the respective schools, if you know of a teacher or a parent who might be interested or might be a good candidate, please reach out to them and invite them or encourage them to apply and put their application in appropriately. We really would like to have a parent on this, and we try every year, but it has not been very successful. So please make us an extra effort to look for that parent to fill that position. Okay, moving on to 5.4, consider acceptance of the audit report financial statement for supplemental information for year ending June 30th, 2021. Lynn, can we have a report on item 5.4?
Yes, thank you. The audit report is reflected from pages 42 to 94 of your board packets. Charter schools are mandated to provide the charter authorizer, the state controller's office, the County Office of Education, and the CDE a copy of the annual audit report performed by those auditing by the California Department of Education. Wilkinson, Hadley & King and Company performed the audit. This is a combined audit of the financial records, financial statements, HR compliance, attendance reporting, mandated state compliance, and federal compliance when the total funds received is $750,000 from the feds. The auditor performed tests to validate the schools so that they are in compliance with the provisions of the laws that is applicable to charter schools, the regulations, the contracts, grant management. Moreover, SSB is audited to ensure compliance with the 2021 state audit guidelines, GAAP, which is the Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, FASB, which is your Financial Accounting Standard Board, which is a compliance for nonprofit corporation. The financial statements are consolidated, as you have, as written in the audit report, which includes the corporation and disaggregated amounts by each of the schools under the SSB corporation. The auditor presented consolidated financial statements for the corporation, Odeo Charter School of San Diego, and they are located on that audit report as well. On pages 92 to 94 of the 538 board packets indicates that there are no material weaknesses identified on the financial statements, the federal awards and state awards. Moreover, there are no findings on the financial statements, state awards and federal awards, which means there are no audit exceptions. On this page, the auditor noted also there is no going concern, which means that there were no findings in the prior year's audit. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mary, is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, I'd just like to commend Will Berry, our financial administrator. He's brought so much, and we are so pleased with his efforts in terms of the clean audit, and certainly Lynn, who is an expert at this, and to have absolutely no findings and a clear audit with no exceptions is unusual, actually, out there in the business community, and I certainly commend everyone's efforts. Good job.
I think I speak for everyone else, and I see the head nods from the other board members. Extremely detailed And I want to commend you all for such a superb job. The complexities that that we see in the environment today with regards to financial accounting challenge everyone. And to end a year again with no significant, with no findings, basically a clean audit report is commendable.
Yes.
So I just want to thank you all very much for your hard work and diligence in making absolutely certain that everything is above board and financial responsibility is the key to true success when it comes to putting a business and keeping a business running. So thank you very much. Do I have a motion for the approval of item 5.4?
Not motion to approve. Nice report, Lynn.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I second, Barton.
Very well. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I will now conduct a roll call. Please indicate your approval or your disapproval. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Jim?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you again. Consider approval. We'll move on to item 5.5, consider approval of terms lease renewal for APN number 427-480-12-00. Lynn, do we have a report on this particular item?
Yes, thank you, Admiral. First of all, I want to preface three items. That all resource centers for both Odeo Charter School and the Charter School of San Diego are all inside the geographical boundaries of the authorizer, which is San Diego Unified School District, to comply with the provisions of Assembly Bill 1507. Second, the contractual obligations for CSSD for all lease sites through year 2026 is $4.6 million. And the Odeo Charter School is $201,427 through year 2023. Both CSSD and Odeo has allocated reserves for the facility lease contractual obligations. These statements are expressed in the budget assumptions. Third, all lease agreements except for the Westfield Mold sites, includes language for property tax refund or rebate because SSB Corporation is a tax exempt entity, and we always asked from the landlord to provide us rebates on property taxes or refund for property taxes. About 20 years ago, we worked with the San Diego County Treasurer's Office to know their process and to work with them on the process on getting these property tax abatements or refunds and what exact contract language to include in the lease agreement for these rebates and refunds so that the tax collector will approve the application for those at the San Diego County. So on a yearly basis, we received amounts of refunds for our property tax portions that the landlord pays for the premises. This lease is for Kearney Mesa Resource Center for Odeo Charter School. The lease was originally acquired in 2006, and we have exercised the option to renew. The terms of the prior lease for this site are 5 years. This is the fourth amendment to the lease. The term for the contract lease is extended to 2 years, starting from October 21, 2021 to September 30, 2023. The total area of this site is 1,530 square feet. Currently, the base lease cost is $2.23 per square foot per month, or $26.76 per square foot per annum. The current monthly lease for this specific site is $3,345 with a triple net of $1,316. That gives us a $4,661 total monthly lease. For 21-22, the annual lease cost is $55,932. The increase in the base rent is annually is 5%. Total contract obligation for 2 years is $113,867. Thank you.
Very good. Doesn't seem like it's been that long since we talked about this particular piece, but Mary, is there anything else that you would like to add to this?
No, thank you.
Okay. Do I have a motion for approval of item 5.5?
Morton makes a motion to approve 5.5.
Thank you, Tim. Do I have a second?
Second. Morton?
Okay, is there any other discussion on this particular item?
No, Admiral, I have a question. Is it possible to vote on 5.5 to 5.12 all in one? Unless there's a specific question to bring up?
We could certainly do that if...
Just looking at efficiencies. Just looking at efficiencies.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. They're all in the same kind of context of report.
Right.
So I now have a motion to amend the motion, and that it be 5.5 to 5.12. Is there any discussion on that issue?
No, this is Tim Morton again. No problem with that. You know, congratulations, Lynn, on lots of hard work there. Just having to do my own business leases recently, I know how difficult that is, and getting all those done and negotiated. So good job. Accept the amendment of the motion.
Okay. I hear a seconded motion. Is there any discussions on the items that are now 5.5 to 5.12? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move forward. With a vote, myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We will now move on to 5.13 is the president's report.
Thank you. 2 weeks ago, we did our mid-year retreat, and as you're aware, we have a very carefully crafted series of strategic initiatives that we establish in the summertime, and we share with the board. They are like an annual work plan. Very carefully monitored with metrics, each initiative having a champion. And in the mid-year, we stop to take a look at how we're doing in order to make any corrections or modifications and to evaluate and forecast what our outcomes might be at the end of the year. And historically, we've done very well. Last year, we had a 96% completion rate. We anticipate at least having that same thing this year. If there is anything that isn't completed, it can be that for some reason we've decided to postpone it, or there is it becomes no longer necessary. So we've done quite well, and the mid-year report was absolutely inspiring. Tim, do you want to say anything about it since you were the champion and brought that together?
Sure. Thank you, Mary. Yes, as Mary mentioned, we spent 3 days, 2 weeks ago, leadership team reviewing where we're at with the initiatives that were set for the year. Some of the highlights in terms of some of the initiatives, of course, the teaching and learning plan is always top of mind in terms of making sure our resource centers have what they need to work with students. We're looking at different ways since we're still dealing with the COVID and not together in person as often as we were, different communications that are happening internally so that we can make sure everybody gets the information they need in efficient and timely manners. Advocacy continues to be something that we're focusing on in terms of support for charter schools and our programs. COVID-19 protocols for everyone is changing every day, if not every week. And so we're trying to stay up in terms of what the requirements are from the county health and the state for public schools and making sure our sites are safe for our students and staff. We're looking at unique ways in terms of helping teachers earn their credentials. We're looking at different technologies for the resource centers and the offices to make sure that our all our processes are as efficient as possible. The college and career indicator continues to be a focus for us in terms of different avenues for students to be prepared for post-secondary and life after high school. And monitoring the fiscal health obviously is definitely a challenge in California, but we are doing what we need to do to stay on top of the fiscal health situation and how it impacts public schools. Safety at our resource centers, developing futuristic and safe instructional settings is a big focus. Looking at our student services center and how efficient they can be in terms of servicing students and families and alumni community in terms of how we're reaching out and supporting our previous graduates. So those are some of the highlights and what we're working on with our strategic initiatives.
Thank you, Tim. I'd like to just highlight one thing in particular, although I could wax eloquent for hours on some of the accomplishments, but one of the things I love is that we have finally, I believe, cracked the code on becoming truly digital. Working with a company, we were able to digitize student records. If you've ever been down in Sereno Mesa in the first floor in the back, there are I believe we have 72 files that are now empty. We have digitized over 4 million records going back to the very beginning of our existence. That is a tremendous accomplishment and helps us work so much more efficiently and effectively. So thank you to all the people that were involved in helping us move toward becoming totally digital, and every day and every week we become better and better and better in terms of moving in that direction and becoming completely paperless. Thank you. Okay, so the next one is 5.13.2, if I may go on, and that's new assignments. May I go on? Yes, okay. Well, since the beginning of our existence, our HR department has existed under one of the leadership team members for the last 5 years. Tim has done an excellent, excellent job in overseeing the HR department, and they've done a wonderful job. We've never had any issues. They just did a great job. But going forward, we can see that there's more complexity that's being added every day. Businesses across the country are having to deal with more and more. We want to be very sure that we are compliant and on top of everything. So what we have done is bring on a full-time HR person. We've tried to be very lean in terms of our administration. But I believe it's really time that we have a full-time person. And so we have a very capable person that we've hired that's in that position. I believe they assume that role as of March 1st, and that'll be really excellent. So we're very happy with that. Going forward, we're considering, too, a new assignment, which may be a compliance kind of a person that helps us to keep abreast of the rapidly changing scene out there in every area, and that will provide training to our staff specifically oriented to compliance. We've been compliant and everything so far has been going well, but we can see that going forward more and more there will be finite issues that we have to stay on top of. The last one is partners and collaborators. The difference with between partners and collaborators is that partners have a memo of understanding, very simple memos of understanding listing what we'll do and what the organization will do to support our students, to support our classrooms or the families. They are very generous in coming to train our staff so that our staff knows what's available and they can make intelligent referrals and really focus on individual needs. Remember, we are a school founded on individualization and personalization. So every single child, every single student is unique to us and we handle them based on whatever their needs are. So in our annual meeting in June, I will be presenting more detail in terms of our partners. Our collaborators do not have memos of understanding, but we put them together because we are working to improve our metrics. We want to be sure that we are connected and are aware of the students that actually go through and utilize these partnerships and how those partnerships benefit them. So we want to make a careful study of that. So that's kind of a research element, and we're going to be delving more deeply into that. But we'll share that more with you in June. That's all for my report. Thank you, everyone, for indulging us and for taking your time this morning.
Great. Thank you very much. Again, busy. I'm glad to see that everything is coming together. I look forward to seeing the report of gaps that may have been identified as part of your mid-year review. I know you shared them before, so if there are gaps that the board needs to be aware of, I'd like to maybe see that in the next board meeting. That would be helpful. Moving on to 5.14, strategic plan update. 5.14.1 is the Odeo Charter School. Is there a, you do 5.14.1.1. Point two at the same time, if we could just get two of them. Tim, you have a report.
These data points that are included in your board packet, pages 95 through 127, are the student participation reports that we include every year. This is how we calculate our average daily attendance, and it's by resource center. And by school. And so our goal is that our everyone is hitting an 84% participation rate. Currently through December 10th of 2021, so this halfway through the school year, Odeo is at 93.8%, which is an increase of 3% from the previous year. And CSSD is at 89.7%, which is an increase of 3.2% over the previous year. So both schools are showing good growth from previous years and are exceeding the target. So that data is really important and things are going well.
Outstanding. Mary, have you anything to add?
No, thank you.
Okay, great. Moving on. The consent agenda. All matters listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine. It will be approved or enacted by the board in one motion in the form listed below. Unless specifically requested by a board member for further discussion or removed from the agenda, there will be no discussion on these items prior to the board's vote on them. As president, I recommend approval of the consent agenda items. Do I have a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, we now conduct a roll call vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Very well. Motion passes unanimously. Moving on. Action items. 7.0. 7.1, action item for Rodeo Charter School and Charter School of San Diego, each school. Item 7.1.1, local control and accountability plan, or LCAP, update presentation. Tim, if you would be so kind.
Yes, thank you, Admiral Herring. I do have a PowerPoint that I will share. This will cover the Rodeo Charter School, the Charter School of San Diego, and the outcome data updates. And then I'll have a separate PowerPoint for the mid-year expenditure and implementation plan. So give me just a minute and we'll pull that up. And this is informational. This is a new requirement this year for just specific to the 2021-22 school year. And because there's new funding sources out from the state, they wanted all LEAs, districts and charter schools, to do a mid-year report. Usually we bring the updated LCAP, the local control accountability plan, information to you and the new revised plan every June, which we will do again this coming year, but this year, California asked that schools do a mid-year check-in as well. So this is for both Rodeo and the Charter School San Diego. This is informational, so nothing needs to be approved at this time. However, in your board packets, the supplemental plan is on page 480 to 488 for Rodeo Charter School and 489 to 497 for the Charter School San Diego. And so this will be, we have one data point which came out this fall, which captures the 2020-2021 school year, but the majority of this data is for the 21-22 school year from July through December. And if you recall, within our local control accountability plan, which is a tool for LEAs to set goals, plan actions, and leverage resources to meet these goals to improve student outcomes, we have five goals. The first one is to increase student engagement and academic achievement. Within that goal, we have different action plans based around systematic cycles of assessments for our students, our pathways personalized education plan, and the multi-tiered systems of supports, how we do a series of interventions to support the growth and the needs of our students. Goal two is bringing forth a broad and rigorous course of study, curriculum that standards align, offering advanced placement opportunities for students, career technical education, and an early college credit program so they can earn college credit while they're in high school. Goal three is around professional development and our professional learning system, which we do it through Altus University, looking at leading edge certification for our teachers, executive studies for all of our staff, and youth mental health first aid supports for our staff and working with students. Goal four is around a safe environment and supportive culture, looking at the work of the Executive Safety Committee, the safety ambassadors at all of our resource centers that help administer safety items to our staff, wherever they're located, looking at our healthy youth department and supporting the work in training our staff to work with our students in our Cadet Corps program. And the last goal, goal five, is around innovative, engaging, and community-based resource centers. So we want to see that all of our resource centers have engagement events. They're offering opportunities for our families to learn about our program and things that our students need to be successful with, and items that can help them further their education and prepare them for careers. We want to make sure they're full of technology and have all the tools through an online tech tool library for our staff to use and working with students. So that's just a quick overview of our LCAP, the goals, and some of the action items that are within it. So as I mentioned, goal one is really around student achievement. And if you recall, we are a dashboard alternative school status program. So when we're looking at student achievement, those outcomes, we want to make sure they're aligned to the uniqueness of our program, serving an at-risk student population. So 70% of our students do fall within those high-risk categories. transiency, credit deficiency are just a few examples of those. In terms of 70% or more of our students come to us with these certain designations, high risk meaning potentially not graduating high school. So currently, some data in our LCAP and some updates to that. The state did just publish the DAS graduation rates for last school year. It came out in the fall dashboard from the CDE. And so we can see that Adeo last year had 90.4% graduation rate for all students. And CSSD was right behind with an 89.5%. We do look at our student groups, English learners, socioeconomically disadvantaged, and students with disabilities. It's a LCAP really asks you to. Less than 100% of anything between the 90 and 100% students dropped out. They did many times just be continuing on for another year of high school with us. So we look at a separate dropout rate, which is typically less than 3%. But this is in terms of graduation for DAS schools. We do compare ourselves, and I'll bring that information forward to you at the June update. But the average DAS rate for other DAS programs in San Diego County is in the 60%. So when we compare those with ourselves, we are anywhere from 20 to 30% higher than the majority of the DAS schools in the county of San Diego. We do look at chronic absenteeism as well within as a success for goal number one. Currently between July and December, we're anywhere from 5 to 6% for Adeo and Charter School San Diego in terms of chronically absent. This means that, and it's only for grades K through eight, if they're absent or not producing work 10% more of those instructional days, then they would fall in this chronically absent category. Typically it will grow over time because as the school year goes on, instructional days are added and there's the potential for students in grades K through eight to not meet productivity on a particular days. But last year we were in between the 10 and 11%. If we look at other DAS schools, which again, I'll bring this to you at the June meeting, there are DAS schools as high as 70 and 80% chronic absenteeism rates for grades K through eight. Additional outcomes that will be coming further on in the year will be our spring assessments. Currently, right now, we are doing the English language proficiency assessment. So our EL students are taking the LPAC right now in February. Coming in March will be our MAPS assessment for reading, language usage, and math. We use an NWEA growth assessment program to administer that. So we look at what their fall scores are and what their growth is compared to spring. And then in May, we'll do the state assessments known as the Smarter Balance. And that's an ELA and math for grades 3 through 8 and 11. And that'll be done in May and we'll get the results typically by the end of summer. Student participation, we just touched on that with 5.14 agenda item, but you can see that Adeo right now is in the mid 90s in terms of their participation. This was as of more last learning period, and CSSD is at 89%. Our target participation here is 84%. So all of our student groups, with the exception to Adeo English learners, which is just below 84%, everybody's meeting the target and exceeding it. We do survey our students after 90 days of enrollment to see what their confidence levels are. We know that if we can build their confidence, they're going to do well in terms of academics. So we do, through a Naviance survey, ask that after 90 days, they compare their confidence levels at the previous school to what they are now after pretty much 3 months of working with us. And our goal is that 90% or more of our students will tell us this. And so Adeo is at 91%. And CSSD is at 93%. Goal two, this is about curriculum and broad and rigorous course of study. I mean, it's all the content standards that California has for public schools, and we're doing a really good job there. All of our core courses are aligned to the Common Core State Standards and the University of California. So if any course is eligible to be approved by the University of California to be on their AGG list for our programs, they are. All of our science courses are aligned to the Next Generation Science Standards. All of our English arts, social science courses are aligned to the English Language Development Standards, so that EL students are learning still the contents they need and the skills while they're taking those core courses. And we do have a work experience program that's compliant with the state and approved by the CDE so that our students can get credit if they want to have get jobs while they're doing their high school education. We also have developed over the course of several years now a very robust CTE program. We have 8 CTE pathways: business management, child development, design, visual and media arts, environmental resources, hospitality, tours and recreation, software and systems development, public safety, and patient care. So these are courses that fall within these pathways that our students can take to learn about these different career pathways and what they're like and what they would be expected to know and prepare them for that. Part of this goal also is we looking at the number of students that are assigned to AP courses, those advanced placements. These are run and approved by the College Board. This also, if they take the exams in the spring, can earn college credits. So right now, Adeo has 37 students taking AP courses, and the Charter School San Diego has 81. I'm sorry, Adeo is 37, CSSD is 81. And dual enrollment, so we are embarking on building a robust dual enrollment opportunity. This fall, we've had 5 Adeo students and 19 CSSD students participate. So again, this helps them earn high school credits and college credits at the same time. Goal 3 is about our professional learning system. And this is in order to help increase teacher effectiveness and high quality instruction. We have offered a tremendous amount of hours. It is our goal that every teacher does at least 60 hours a year. Currently, if we add up all the hours for Adeo, we're at 637 hours. If we add up all the hours for Charter School San Diego, we have over 2,500 hours. So this really helps support what teachers need to in working with students. And a lot of this is expert teachers teaching others on what they know and how to distribute that knowledge and information. And currently through the fall, we do have a separate focus under the professional learning system because so many of our students come in challenged with math, some up to 5 years behind in grade level on internal math assessments. So Adeo has done 67 hours of math, PD or staff has, and Charter School San Diego over 400. We do ask staff that once they take these the professional development sessions, give us feedback in terms of relevancy and satisfaction. And pretty much they're coming in at 97 and 98% for both relevancy and satisfaction. We do ask our students and parents also what's their satisfaction in terms of their overall education experience. And so as of this is an ongoing survey that goes throughout the year, which will inform our LCAP development for next year. But their satisfaction overall are very high. Everybody's over 97% for students and parents. Goal 4, as I mentioned, was about safe environment, supportive school culture. Currently, to date this year, we've had no suspensions or expulsions for either school. And the school safety satisfaction, which is a separate question on our LCAP survey, is coming in strong at 96 to 97 to 98% for parents and students. Goal 5 is about providing the innovative, engaging, and community-based resource centers. And some of the activities that we're doing this year are our school site council and our English Learner Advisory Committees to continue to meet throughout the year. So it's an opportunity for staff, students, and parents to interact around important topics that are distributed throughout the school and inform the school in terms of its LCAP development. Family learning series. So these are this last year and in 2 years, we've done these through Teams, much like this meeting, where parents and students and staff can tune in to a Teams meeting, hear from our staff on a variety of important topics so that they can get information that's relevant to them. We do continue to have open house events. Those were done in October at all our resource centers. We just finished up fall semester progress reports and conferences with every student and parent. Those were completed in January. We are having a college and career week coming up end of February, beginning of March, where we bring in outside experts in different career fields and universities, community colleges that can speak to our students and they can ask questions and interact with these folks so they can learn more about college and career opportunities. And then we do have senior night events that are scheduled March 7th through 25th. So these are for seniors and their parents to learn about the graduation activities, what to expect in life after high school, and just different opportunities to prepare for post-secondary life. We do ask, as another LCAP question, have you participated? Are you engaged in these different activities or opportunities at the Resource Center? So anywhere from 95 to 99% of students and parents at Audeo and TSSD have told us that they are engaged and have opportunities such as utilizing technologies and different opportunities to interact in the Resource Center. So those results are coming back successful so far as well. So in summary, for this mid-year, our education partners continue to be satisfied with the progress and implementation of our LCAP actions and services. And the student outcomes, achievement, and climate metrics have really remained very strong, even during the pandemic, as we're going into the end of our second year, beginning of our third year. And so we're seeing that really our results are coming back strong in terms of student achievement. We're not seeing a drop off in terms of engagement or satisfaction. And so that tells us that we're on the right track in terms of our local control accountability plan. So that ends the mid-year supplement annual update and outcome data. And I'm happy to answer any questions on that. And then when you're ready, I can move on to the mid-year expenditure and implementation plan.
Tim, these are incredible metrics. Question, how widely known are these? I mean, do we share these with parents and with prospective parents?
We do. When we meet with them at open houses and different opportunities, we do post on our websites. It's available through a lot of it through the CDE's websites as well too. So when we can, we do.
I would just like to share that you're right, Mr. Green, these outcomes are extraordinary. And particularly in light of the fact that we have a critical mass of students that many have not demonstrated success in the traditional settings through often no fault of their own. So we are so pleased that our data seems to show that we're able to bring out the best and that it's an issue of finding an appropriate environment for our students to be successful. That and the commitment of the teachers. The teachers are extraordinary and they're highly trained. They're all about the art of teaching. That's all to think about. And so we're so proud of our teachers and our students, and certainly the staff that supports teachers. What a wonderful job. What a wonderful job. That's all. I won't go on. I could go on for quite a while, but I won't.
Commendable all around.
Go ahead, Tim.
All right, so now we'll move on to the mid-year expenditure and implementation data report. And this is not too lengthy, but let me share my screen again. Okay, so this again is a requirement this year from the state in terms of updates to the LCAP, and just give you a little insight into some of the funding that's been available to us during this budget cycle. And part of this is a budget overview for parents as well. So we post, this is posted on our website with part of our LCAP. It's also part of this presentation, which is open to the public. One of the challenges around the LCAP is trying to give parents a simplistic view of how schools' finances and resources are being spent. And then also update the board in terms of some of the new funding that we've, some one-time funding that we have available. And one example is the A to G implementation grant that we received and did the public hearing for earlier in this board meeting. So there was several new grants that were approved by the state and distributed to schools. Unfortunately, half of them we're not eligible for because we're a non-classroom based school. So it's a lot of them are meant for traditional schools. But the ones that we are eligible for and we're participating in are the Educative Effectiveness Grant. This is providing professional development to teachers and staff working with students. The A to G Completion Improvement Grant, so trying to get high-risk student groups through the A to G courses for high school to prepare them for post-secondary and help them get accepted to universities. One is around, the next one is dispute resolution. With COVID, there's been a lot of challenges around special education services and complaints from parents on those. So this funding provides efficient resolution for that. Fortunately for our staff, we have a pretty strong special education program, so we haven't dealt with too many of those, but there's funding, a little bit of funding for us to use to support proactively with that. And then learning recovery, this is funding for potential learning loss that have happened to students stemming from the COVID-19 pandemic. You can see the state funding amounts on the right. Those are not our amounts. I'll show you those next, but those are from the state overall to all public schools.
I can anticipate the board's concern that the non-classroom based schools are not eligible for the funding that all students are eligible for, all students that attend site-based schools. And certainly our lobbyists in Sacramento and anytime we have the opportunity, we reinforce the fact that we believe that every student should be funded equally, no matter what the mode of delivery is, as long as they are certainly following the criteria as prescribed by the Department of Education in terms of outcomes and achievements. So we're working on it. We're working on it.
These are the amounts for the four grants that were available to us this year. You can see those for Audeo and Charter School San Diego separately and then also combined. So anywhere from $369,000 for educator effectiveness, the A to G, $531,000, dispute resolution about $72,000, and learning recovery, $326,000. And again, these are one-time grants included in this the 21-22 budget act from the state. If you combine all of the amounts of these one-time funds, about 31% of them were eligible for. So in terms of the LCAP and the budget overview for parents and changing anything with our LCAP for this year, it's minor compared to most districts and traditional charter schools. In addition to some of these grants, the concentration grant, so the LCAP gives additional funds if you have students in different, those high-risk categories. So they've increased the funding from 50% to 65%, which brings a combined increase of 126,000, so 27,000 for Audeo Charter School, 98,000 for Charter School San Diego. That provides us the dispute prevention and recovery. You can see those amounts as well. Part of what we'll be using the additional funding for is to increase our paraprofessionals, our CTR support. We've hired about five between the two schools. We want to hire an additional seven. We'll be using the dispute prevention funding to help to conduct voluntary dispute resolution activities if those come up. So that would include facilitating IEPs, third-party consultation, and proactive resolution sessions conducted by our SELPA, our special education agency team, and experienced mediators. So we'll use those funds for those activities. And the learning recovery will really focus those around social emotional needs by hiring licensed therapists, our mental health sessions for students that need those in the special education, any transportation costs that could come up, and increase their access to qualified school psychologists. One of the things that happened is because of COVID, a lot of school psychologist activities were put on hold for many months because of COVID, and now there's been a delay in terms of around the state in terms of keeping up. Our staff is back on track with all that, but there's funding from the state to help support that work. So combined, the budgeted LCAP expenditures for both schools on the first interim report is a little over 22 million. And up through July through October, we've utilized one third of those plans so far, and that was part of the first interim report. So we are on target in terms to spend all our LCAP expenditures as budgeted, which is about 35%. And then we did receive some additional federal funding with the ESSER II and ESSER III. How we spent these funds has been a variety of activities around supporting safe return to in-person instruction within our safety plans. So we went from 3 days a week of cleaning our resource centers. The last 2 years, we've done this for 5 days a week, which does increase the cost quite a bit, but it's important for us to make sure all our spaces are clean. So we've used some of these funds for sanitation and cleaning. We have also transitioned a lot of our documents to electronic signatures. So we've used DocuSign for enrollments, IT support of our remote work and tools. Paraprofessionals, we are currently using some of this funds to help with the paraprofessional support in our resource centers. Student internet access, we've had a program in place before COVID, and it really has taken off since in terms of providing technology and internet access at home to our students. So mobile hotspots and Chromebooks, we're using some of this grant money for. Air quality, we purchased air purifiers and higher quality air filters since COVID hit. They're that are maintained quarterly in good air quality. So we've invested quite a bit and used funds here for air quality. And then other can fall under, we have free meal snacks and items at all of our resource centers for students to use. So we've used some of the funds there. Digitizing of student records, as Mary mentioned earlier, we've invested money to make sure that we don't have to go in and be somewhere physically always. We can get what we need, no matter the location of our staff. Teacher professional development and technology equipment are also falling under the other category for the federal funds that we've received. So that concludes the mid-year expenditure and implementation plan report. Happy to answer any questions or?
No, I just want to commend again everyone for all of the just tremendous work that's been being done. I hadn't really focused, Tim, on the new grants and those that we were excluded from. And the surprising part for me is that there's some of the larger grants that are being offered, but yet they seem to be the most discriminatory opportunities, knowing that our student population are an extremely high-risk category, that those individuals would then exclude those individuals because they're not class-based. That, to me, that's deplorable. I don't know how they came to be, but I think that it's important for us to continue to push wherever we can, that our legislators and others understand that these solutions need probably more money to ensure that those opportunities are presented to those disadvantaged students so that higher numbers and higher percentages are successful. And it just boggles my mind. But anyway, here we are. So thank you very much for that. The next item, is there any other comments from board members?
No.
Okay, moving on to the next is action item 7.2. Consider approval of the unaudited actuals for for fiscal year July 21, 2020 to June 20, 2021. Lynn, do you have a report?
Yes, thank you, sir. First, I want to preface that the board approved the policy 1500 in 2008 and amended in 2015. That the board authorizes the president and CEO to act on your behalf regarding the review and approval of mandated financial reports, such as interim reports and unaudited actuals. Further, it is stipulated in that policy that the president and CEO can submit the mandated reports to appropriate agencies that are required in the regulations. Subsequently, it will be presented to the board on the next available meeting. Odeo Charter School closed the fiscal year 2021 with P280A of 596.37. Total revenues is 8.826 million and total expenditures is 8.695 million with a net result of operations of 131,155. When the school opened that fiscal year, the beginning fiscal year of 2021, the beginning fund balance is 6.97 million. The net assets as of June 30, 2021 is 5.724 million. Of the net assets, 3.9 million is fixed assets. This means that 1.825 million is liquid assets. It denotes that the school is fiscally solvent. Thank you.
Excellent. Mary, do you have any comments?
No, none, thank you.
Very well. Do I have a motion for approval of item 7.2?
Motion to approve, Crean.
Very well. Thank you. Do I have a second?
Morton, second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we will now conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Tim?
Tim, aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Next item is 7.2.2. Consider approval for the first interim report 2021-2022. is there a report on this item?
Yes, thank you, sir. Charter schools are mandated to file two financial interim reports during the fiscal year regarding the financial health of the school. The first interim reports cover the period of July 1 to October 31st, and the school is required to submit the interim reports to the county superintendent of schools and the local authorizer no later than December 15 of every fiscal year. The second interim reports covers the period of July 1 to January 31, and the deadline to submit is no later than March 15. The interim reports compares the current fiscal year budget versus the first interim aggregate totals for your revenues, your expenditures, your net result of operations and the net fund balance. The school reviews the reports for budget variance analysis between the budget and the actual amounts. If the variance is 10% or more, the school has to provide an explanation of the change, which this is the requirement of our authorizer. For ODEO's first interim report, the ending fund balance as of October 31st, 2021 is $6.3 million, which means that the school is in good financial health and is able to meet its final obligations. Thank you.
Again, well done, thank you. Do I have a motion to approve item 2.2?
So moved, Barton.
Well, thank you.
Tim Morton, second.
Thank you. We can do any other discussion? Hearing none, we'll conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Item 7.2.3, review the February revised operational budget assumptions for FY 2021-22. Consider approval of February revised operational budget for FY 21-22. Lynn, do you have a report on item 7.2.3?
Yes, thank you, Admiral. The budget assumptions is located on your board packet from pages 508 to 514. This indicates the basis of the development of the budget. It is very comprehensive and provides information as to how non-classroom-based or independent study program is funded, how average daily attendance is earned, the funding rates per grade level, the revenue projections, you can see the table there, description of the special funding or one-time funding, and the number of the full-time equivalent position as well as the health benefits. For ODEO Charter School, the February revised operational budget is based on an estimated P280A of 420, and the enrollment projection is 442. As of February 11, the current enrollment is 395. The total projected revenue is $7.325 million for ODEO. Please note that this year, the enrollment and the P280A was reduced from the last fiscal year actual enrollment and P280A numbers because ODEO Charter School lost the Moreno Valley Resource Center as a cure for geographic restriction for adjacent county. Moreno Valley Resource Center is now on a charter school named ODEO Valley Charter School, authorized by the County Office of Education, and is operated and managed by the ODEO Charter School Nonprofit Corporation. The total revenue is comprised of 74% for LCFF and other state revenues, 13.22% for federal revenues, 12.37% of other financing resources, and 0.41% for local revenue. These are percentages calculated based on the total revenue. The revenue budget includes budget for one-time special funding, which are all listed in the budget assumption, pages 511 to 512. Projected expenditures is $6.89 million, which is comprised of total payroll and benefits of about $4.751 million, which represents about 69% of the total revenue. The books and supplies is $174,880, which represent 3% of the total revenue. Services and other operating expenditures is at $1.702 million, about 25% of the revenue. Capital outlay is $251,336, which is 0.04% of the revenue. As indicated in the budget assumption, which I have said that it's from pages 508 to 514, note that the school has allocated a budget of $27,000 for research and development to support works directed toward innovation, introduction, and improvement necessary for the support of the school consistent with the SSP's mission and purpose. A reserve of 6% of the total revenues is allocated in this budget in the amount of $439,543. These are reserves for operation reserve and reserve for economic uncertainties. Thank you.
Okay. Great, again, thank you very much. Mary, is there anything that you'd like to add?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion for approval of item 7.2.3?
Motion to approve from Green.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll take a roll call vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. 7.3, action items for the Charter School of San Diego, approval of unaudited actuals, FY July 21 to 2020 to June 2021. Linda, is there a report on 7.3.1?
Yes, thank you. Similar to the David Charter School CSSD closed the fiscal year with a P2ADA of 1,658.86. Total revenues is 23.644 million and total expenditures is 21.954 million with a net result of operation of 1.689 million. When the school opened the fiscal year of 2021, the beginning fund balance was 33.062 million. The net asset as of June 30, 2021 is 34.750 million. Of this net asset, 19.456 million is fixed asset. This means that the school is very healthy and fiscally sound.
Outstanding. Barry, any comments?
None, thank you.
Thank you very much. Do I have a motion for the approval of item 7.3.1?
So moved, Barton.
Thank you. May I have a second?
Second, Crane.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Well, moving on to 7.3.2, consider approval of first interim report 2021-22. Lynn?
Yes, thank you, sir. The information and procedure for DAEO's first interim report is similar to CSSD, which I will not repeat. CSSD's first interim report reflects an ending fund balance of October 31, 2021 at 36.027 million, which means that CSSD is in good financial health and is able to meet its financial obligations. Thank you.
Given well done. Mary, any comments?
No, none.
Okay. Do I have a motion for the approval of item 7.3.2?
So moved, Morton.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second, Barton.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Very well, we'll move on to roll call. Eric?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Myself, aye. Just checking to see if you guys are listening.
Very good.
Review the February revised operational budget assumptions FY 2021-22. Consider approval of February revised operational budget FY 2021-22. Lynn?
Yes, thank you, sir. The budget assumptions from pages 528 to 535 indicates the basis of the development of the budget. For the February revised budget is based on an estimated P2ADA of 1,621.85 and the enrollment projection of 1,707. As of February 11, current enrollment is at 1,721. The total projected revenue and other financing sources is a total of 27.106 million. The total revenue and other financing sources is comprised of your of the LCFF and other state revenues, which is 21.168 million. This represents 78% of the total revenues. The federal revenues is 2.790 million, which represents 10.30% of the total revenues. Other financing sources, which is at 2.951 million, which is 10.89% of the total revenues. And local revenue is in the amount of $195,945. The revenue includes budget for one-time special funding as indicated on the budget assumption. Please refer to pages 531 to 532. Projected expenditures is at 24.05 million, which is comprised of the total payroll benefits at 16.183 million. Payroll benefits represent 60% of the total revenue. Books and supplies at 620,402. That is about 2.29% of the total revenue. Services and other operating expenditures is at 6.129 million. It's 23% of the revenue. Capital outlay is 1.117 million, which is 4.13% of the revenue. As indicated in the budget assumptions, note that the school has allocated a budget of $81,000 for research and development to support works directed towards innovation, introduction, and improvement necessary for the support of the school consistent with the SSP's mission and purpose. The reserve is about 11.27% of the total revenue in the amount of $3,055,100 allocated for operation reserve and reserve for economic uncertainties. Thank you.
Extremely well done. Mary, any comments?
No, none, thank you.
Do I have a motion for approval of item 7.3?
So moved, Morton.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second, Barton.
Second, Crean.
Okay, thank you. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll now take a roll call. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
You?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item 8.0. From time to time, the board has topics of interest that they would like to share with the community. These are informational in nature and not require any action. Are there any comments, announcements from any of the board members?
Barton would just like to make a comment. As a former school administrator, I'm just really impressed. This was a long meeting, but I'm really impressed with all of the reports from the teachers, the education, the LCAP. The comprehensive safety plan is as comprehensive a safety plan as I've ever seen. Just kudos to all. You guys are doing a really great job.
This is Tim, just to echo that, and I know there's so much hard work has gone into all of these budgets and finances, and put us on a good fiscal sound footing. So thank you for all that and your work and your staff for that and all the compliance.
Any more? I'll just continue to echo those sentiments. It really feels good when you're involved with an organization that truly does show performance through metrics. Mm-hmm. And the successes that you are achieving are noteworthy without exception. I think that if our education system even began to look at how you are succeeding in the percentages that were presented in your mid-cap and your LCAP mid-year and got anywhere close to that, America would be a heck of a lot better off than it is today, especially our youth, and the future of America is dependent on them. And you are making a difference. And by measuring it, holding yourself accountable, and doing what's necessary in order to provide the robust education and opportunity that you are for our students is commendable. So I will again say thank you for all your hard work. And to the executive team, you guys are doing an absolutely superb job leading and making sure that it all works. It takes a team, and no one individual can make it happen. And trust me, I know that from experience. If you do not have a strong team, regardless of how hard you push, it will not work. So I want to again commend the team for the effort. Your strengths are only benefit our students, and that's the true focus. It's all about our students, and you are succeeding. So thank you very much for everything that you're doing. Any other comments?
Admiral, I just have to recognize Angela Neary because she was the one that brought all this paper together. Well, excuse me, it's not paper anymore, but brought all these reports together and has your,
yeah.
I know it was huge. But thank you, Angela, for bringing all that together. And also the teachers that I see all their faces here. And there's Gail and Andrea and all of you. I don't know if you can enjoy sitting through a board meeting, but I'm so glad that you did. I'm so glad you're here. And thank you for sharing that with us.
Right. So if nothing more, Andrea, you've saved me a few melatonin prior to bedtime. Okay. All right. Moving on. Adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second, Morton.
Okay. And I'm sure there's not going to be any discussion on this topic other than to say thank you very much for your time, patience, and effort. All across the board. I'll now take a roll call for a vote. Myself, aye. Scott?
Aye.
David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Again, thank you very much, everybody, for your time.